It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna returns on Monday. This broadcast at the United Center for the Blackhawks take on the Las Vegas Golden Knights, brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good. And Chicago Blackhawks Vice President and General Manager Stan Bowman, with Stan We Can, is in the broadcast area with us. By the way, we're at the Goose Island Pub. Once you get to the game, if you're coming tonight, come by and say hello. Get a picture. Violetta, it's her Instagram takeover day for the WGN Radio Instagram account, so she needs as much material as she possibly can get.
Every 30 seconds, she's sticking her phone in our faces, trying to get material for the Instagram story. So it's not distracting at all.
Yeah, but now I have a real celebrity here.
Yes, you do.
Oh, that's boy. I'm not so sure about
wait
that.
Wait a second.
Okay. That was a
Stan, that was not a shot at you. I think, but thank you for acknowledging me, Violetta. Although Stan's wearing an amazing tie, I would say, today. So that, I think that there's something to it. I like everything that's going on there.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about there's a lot. First, let's just talk about the Las Vegas Golden Knights for a second. I think they're right now, in terms of essentially the first half of a season for any expansion team in any sport in the history of, you know, of kicking a ball, you know, across somebody else's goal. They have done better than any other North American franchise, expansion franchise. What is the key to their success? Is it that they stole all the best players from all the best teams?
You know, that's a great question. It's been an incredible start. I mean, I don't think anybody would have predicted that they'd be one of the top two teams in the league at the midway point of the season. But I read something the other day which actually makes some sense when you think about it. And one of the players was doing an interview, and he explained how each night when they play a team, one of their teammates was discarded by that team and maybe deemed to be not good enough to protect. So there's sort of every night they go out there, they have like a chip on their shoulder. And so they rally around that. And I never thought of that before. But so every time they play a game, they're playing against a team that somebody was let go from.
Right. And they rally around their own teammate,
yes,
who's mad about that.
Exactly.
So it's not just that one guy.
No, they're trying to win that game because they know their team's coming up a couple weeks.
And they feel that.
Yeah. So, and they've sort of, I think maybe that got them going, and they've been feeding off. No, they got a lot of confidence now. They've had a great run, and they're just a really good team. I mean, there's no way about it. They maybe don't have as many household names as some other teams do, but they certainly have a lot of depth from the top to the bottom.
Sure.
They don't have any weak links.
They're 17-2-1 at home. Is the Vegas flu real, Stan?
You'd think so with that kind of a home record.
I just kind of think so anyway, having had it a number of times, that may well be the case.
Yeah,
the fans are really excited for the team. I know, obviously, it's the first professional sport. I know they're going to have football, but right now they're the only thing in town, and I think
great support. They're getting great support.
Tremendous, So it's a great story.
Yeah, and it is, and they got obviously a lot of travelers coming in to support their teams. I know we're going to be there in a couple of weeks. The morning show at WGN is going to be out there for it. We're vying to be the next trip out, which I think is next season now. it's a beautiful stadium. It is a great idea to have sports teams there because. You know, the thing is, once the game is over, you go and it's a great couple of days. You know, Vegas to me is the greatest 48 hours. It's the 49th hour that becomes the problem.
Yeah, there's so much to do there, and obviously it's a great environment weather-wise. I mean, you have usually really nice weather there, so people escaping like Chicago weather at this time of year.
You mean the four below that Judy just mentioned? You mean something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. It's a great story for the NHL. I think, you know, certainly credit to them for having faith in the market and going there. I know some people weren't sure if it would work, but it's been a tremendous success.
I think it's also really interesting, too, because, you know, for years and years and years, I think people around the game of hockey, you know, thought that that hockey was hard to translate into places that weren't used to it. And I think what you're finding is that the speed of the game and the stars are becoming more and more visible, and the marketing of the league and the marketing of certain franchises, and Chicago being chief among them, have made hockey very sexy. So people are coming out to check it out, and once they go and they see it in the buildings, then they get there. Then they're like, oh wow, that is really something, and it translates much better on television than it used to with HD. And it's this is a really great era for it. I always point to Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, Nashville. As soon as Nashville started to be successful as a franchise, my God, those rednecks started digging this team. And it was and it was like every country star had to be seen at the game, right?
Right.
They all had to go to the Bridgestone and be part of the action there.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. There's two things. Hockey's a great experience now on television, and maybe it wasn't so much before HD, mm-hmm. but it's an even better experience when you're actually live. And I think so. For someone that knew nothing about hockey and they show up in Vegas or in Nashville and they just want to say, boy, let me see what this is all about. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of activity. It's sort of easy to get sucked in by the sport.
Really, no question.
Yeah, and you'll pick up the rules. I mean, there obviously are a few icing and offsides, but there's not a ton of complicated rules. I mean, I think there's infractions, and you serve a penalty when you do something wrong. So
people like that, like a little jail. Expect the kids love it. It's not like the slap shot days where the guys are climbing over the glass, after each other in the penalty box. But it's still, there isn't as much fighting, but it's a ton of fun. And I think too, the brightness of it. I've always said this is that when you walk in, the first time you walk in to an NHL, and it's different. I think in different levels of hockey. But when you walk in on a dark, cold night anywhere, whether it's in the East Coast or Midwest or the West, you see that ice is so bright and it's so dynamic, and the colors of the sweaters, we were talking about this, that they're the largest billboards in all sports, mm-hmm. are the hockey sweaters, because they're just larger than because they have to fit over the pads, and they tend to be more boxy. They're not form-fitting.
Right.
So you got a lot of action on it. You got the great traditions of the logos of the teams. It's just... I always try to encourage people to come out and see it. It used to be easier to get the tickets than it is now, but you got to see this live if you've never seen it live, and
Agreed.
That's what these teams are doing.
That's true. It's a special place here in Chicago. The United Center, I think the people here deserve credit for making this like a spectacle. It's obviously an exciting hockey game, but it's a big night out. There's a lot of it's a great entertainment destination for people to come and. We try to make it an appealing place, and we try to put a fun product on the ice and make it, a real experience to come here to the United Center.
Let's talk about Jeff Glass for a second, 32-year-old rookie. Stan, I don't know how many times you felt like a 32-year-old rookie, but I know I feel like it almost every day. Congratulations on that. The middle-aged guy seems to be really playing well. This is a good good pickup here. And Corey Crawford, I know coach today said it's indefinite how long he's going to be out. And I know in the NHL we don't have a lot of conversation about that, but. You feel pretty comfortable and confident that Jeff's going to be able to take you through whatever you need to be taken through here?
Yeah, it's a great story. Looking back on it, he's a guy that he was a pretty accomplished junior player coming up when he was like 19, 20 years old, and he started his career and he was in the minor leagues. And usually goalies have to work their way up, and I guess it wasn't quite going the way he wanted, so he went and he played in Russia for 7 years. So he left North America at a pretty young age, but he wanted to play, and so he really spent his formative years there, getting better and better every year. And he's
there's great hockey there.
The KHL is a very good league. It's a tougher lifestyle, obviously. You're playing in Russia, and mm-hmm. The travel's tough, the language is tough, the culture's different. So
sometimes they use duct tape to put the plane together. There's other issues like that, but go ahead.
Possibly true. It happens over there. So he comes back here, and it's unusual for a goalie to make his debut at the age of 32. But if you get a chance to talk to Jeff, and I know he's done some interviews the last couple weeks here with his success, he's an incredible guy. He really is. He's a really engaging person. You can see why he's the kind of guy that could persevere through 7 years in Russia. And he's bounced around, and he never lost hope of playing in the NHL. And I think... it's a great story, but you got to put yourself in his shoes. And most people would sort of say, "Well, this isn't going to happen for me. I'm just going to be a minor league guy and kind of accept it." And he always held out hope that he was going to somehow make it. And I think he's a very optimistic guy, and he's been a jolt of adrenaline for our team. Just the kind of personality he is at a time when we needed it. We weren't playing our best, and he came in and. That game that we won in Edmonton when Kane scored the great individual goal, you could see the excitement. The guys rushed, right down to Jeff, and they were excited that they won that game for him.
Stan, when Corey does come back, and I know it's tough to project, but can you see a scenario where Jeff takes over the backup position instead of Anton?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing I've learned a long time ago is you don't make those decisions until you have to. So I'm not sure what's going to happen down the road, and we're probably not trying to worry about that right now. We're trying to enjoy the fact that he's had a great start to his NHL career, and you know, you sort of, it's such a cliche, but you just, we hope he can win the game tonight, and then we'll focus on Sunday when we get to Sunday. So whenever that date is, I guess we'll figure it out at that time.
Well, it's interesting too, because teams, you know, as you know, they're going out and scouting, what the, obviously scouting a goalie is an important thing, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, what their preferences are and what, you know, what they're better at than others. Since he's new, they're not quite sure, right?
Right. I mean, there's not a lot of history on him because he hasn't played a lot of hockey in North America. I mean, he played some games in Rockford earlier this year. But even last year, he didn't play a whole lot. And the previous seven, he was over in Russia. So, and he played quite a bit over there, but there just wasn't as much exposure to someone like that. So there is a little bit of that unknown entity, which maybe is working to our advantage.
How do you explain the peaks and valleys of this season? It's win five games, lose four or five, win four straight. What do you make of it? Is it the parody of the NHL these days?
Yeah, it's been a unique year that way. I think, you know, you would love to try to smooth out those. You don't want to have prolonged losing streaks, and you certainly want as many long winning streaks as you can. So I don't know if there's one answer to it. I think certainly parity is part of it. I think there's, you know, the whole league is compressed so close together. I mean, there's a few teams that are really good, and there's a few teams that are really struggling, and then there's about 25 that are, you know, within probably four or five wins of each other. And I think that's what's happened over the past, and it's been well documented, in the last 8 or 9 years with the salary cap that sort of spreads the talent around. You can't stockpile good players because when they make too much money, you've got to move them out. So that's, you know, we've been dealing with that for a long time, and now every other team's sort of dealing with the same thing. So the best players are sort of getting spread out, and every team has, you know, their number of four, five, six really good players, and they sometimes can nullify each other. And then if you have that supporting cast, there's a few teams. Vegas is one of them. Tampa's another one that have, you know, found a way to have those long, long winning streaks. But it's sort of the modern NHL is having everybody very similar.
And your job's never been harder because of that, right? I mean, the way the NHL has created the CBA, it's tough for you guys, but for the NHL as a whole, it couldn't be healthier, right? Because from top to bottom, everybody can compete. We see it in the postseason every year.
Yeah, I think every year you see teams that struggled the year before and they can have dramatic improvements. And the other side of that is you can have a team that was really good and drop out of the playoffs. And Tampa Bay is a great example.
Yeah.
You know, they came to game six with us and then they missed the playoffs. And now they're back having a good year. But you know, obviously that's something we want to avoid that. We're focused on getting into the playoffs. And I think, you know, we saw last year with Nashville, they were just getting in.
Yeah.
You just got to find a way to be one of those 16 teams that gets in the playoffs. And I would think the number one seed has as good a chance as the number eight seed to win the cup.
And it's interesting. And again, you know, I Bettman is just not returning my phone calls about this, about reorganizing the schedule. But you know, there is such. There's such a difference between the East and the West. You know, the East and the West only get a chance to compete against each other in such a limited way now, and it has been like this for years. And then so when you get into the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, you got two teams that really have very little experience with each other,
right?
And I think it's kind of a fascinating way of that they've structured the league, but I would like to see more. I'd like to see us be able to play, you know, more of the traditional, you know, Eastern, our rivals, original six teams, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, that's something you always hear Hawks fans talk about and lament. And as much as I think the Nashville rivalry is great, the Nashville rivalry goes back to 2010.
Right? Yes, that's right.
And
yeah.
it's that has been a tough rivalry ever since Nashville got knocked out in 2010 by us, and a few people lost their teeth. And then you move forward, you know, to their success. Obviously, I'm not quite sure. I do have a lot of hatred for Vancouver and some other teams, but I just can't get. I'm not able to get emotional now about Las Vegas yet, but I guess I will tonight because they are so good, and I do like the idea of them, and I think it's a cool sweater. I think a very cool logo.
They did a great job. I think there's a lot of things about their team which they did right, and certainly, you know, they set it up to have a competitive team, and they've proven to be extremely competitive.
Yeah.
So we got our hands full here tonight, but I think. In a lot of ways, I actually like when you play the top teams because I find that, you know, our team has a good way of focusing and being prepared. You know, I think some of our best games this year were when we were playing against a team that was really hot and was someone that we really came out ready to play.
How much time are you going to spend watching Olympic hockey this year now that it's NHL players are not in it? That you want to see guys from, you know, the American team and the Canadian team, guys who are, you know, that's sort of going back to the way it used to be. It's
right.
A really great scouting opportunity because they're young players.
Yeah, I think there's always that element of sort of the unknown and the, you know, the great story because these are not the stars from each of their representative countries. These are going to be the guys that are lesser known. So I think you can – it's almost like you get that – it's a good story from a personal perspective, not so much from a hockey scouting. I mean, there'll be some guys who we scout these guys all the time, though, and
they
other
know who they are anyway.
Yeah, we do. I mean, they're going to not
but international
gonna be,
competition is different. I mean, you know, they're going to be playing the best of the best at their level,
right? So it's still I still think there's something interesting about the spectacle of it. You're
yeah.
at the Olympics, and you know you got these group that comes together and. You know, it's like a magical story for whatever team does that. Hopefully it's, you know, for our sake, hopefully the U.S. team comes together and has a great run. I think it would be fun to see those names become household names, a lot like the team back in 1980 when
yeah.
those guys individually were not sort of superstar players.
Right.
Not many of them went on to have great – a few of them did, but for the most part they were guys that – came together for a period in time, and it was something that the country
sort
could
a great working class story of
rally
the
around
1980s. Yeah, and yeah. it was like that, and you know, beating the Russians, and you know, it spawned three or four Rocky movies, as I seem to recall. All right, well, Stan, thank you very much for being with us. Stan Bowman, he's the vice president and general manager of our beloved Chicago Blackhawks. Let's have a great second half of the season, get in the playoffs, and you know, just and show that Nashville team what for.
All right, Ro, I appreciate
and that St. Louis team. I don't like this at all, where the Blues are playing well. I do. I've got pent-up hatred for St. Louis.
We've got our hands full with a lot of teams, so we just got to keep playing well.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Joe.
It.